On this week's show, Document Today, Dominate Tomorrow, with Peter Lazinski from Command Post.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm good, Peter. It's good to be here with you. It's just the two of us sitting down. We're going to have us a nice conversation today, aren't we? This is a throwback episode in some respects. It's like throwback, comeback. We'll get to all of that. Where are you coming to us from this morning? I'm catching a little light through the window. Looks like it's pretty nice out today.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. We're in Del Mar, California, just near San Diego. Our office has a view of the ocean here and a baseball field with a dog park. And it's just a beautiful spot. And I walk to work, which makes it even better.
Yeah, we had our call to get ready for this and you had just walked home for lunch. And I thoroughly enjoy that. And San Diego, Del Mar, one of my favorite places to be. So great person, great place. We're going to get into a great conversation in just a second here. But remember, guys, follow us. We're out there. YouTube.com/@TheContentCrew. Check us out. And also, you might want to be following those socials. A lot going on these days out there. Follow me, follow the crew, follow the guests.
Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the Contech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
All right, we are back. Peter Lazinski. Now, folks listening in, if they've been listening long enough, they've heard your name and they've heard some of your stories before. But for those that are new, since, you know, we are, I have to say this, we've been around long enough, we're running it back. We're in the next generation. So to those that don't know you, give a little bit of your history and let's talk about how we got here.
Okay. Well, you know, I was born in Philadelphia. I love building and I started a construction business in Philadelphia. And that and the weather in Philadelphia was really hard for construction. And I decided to move to California. Sold the business to an employee, started came here in 84, started a company called Peterbilt Construction, built out to the 17th largest builder in San Diego. And then my company, I found that I had a project where a guy didn't pay the bills and I had to go to arbitration and took 2 years to get there. And he was, you know, lying about what happened and making things up and hiring all these experts to claim construction defects. And it was a very frustrating experience for me, mainly because the guy was kind of a jerk about it all. Some people stick it to you and make you feel good. This guy was like, nah, you can't get me, you know, and because the guys didn't write anything down. That was really the problem. The arbitrator said, you know, Peter, you got to have stuff written down. You can't just say things. And that after 4 days of this arbitration, I knew I was losing. I had my Nextel phone in my hand and I'm shaking it with my superintendent. Like, how can I make sure this never happens again? And I looked at my phone and I said, hey, if we use the mobile phone to document things, the very next thought is, well, the call goes through a third party network. So there's a timestamp by a third party on this call. So all we have to do is answer it and capture it and such. The next day I talked to the arbitrator and he said, you know, I've been doing dispute resolution for 30 years. Guys don't write stuff down. And if they do, you can't read it a lot of times because they don't spell well and they don't want people to know they can't spell. So they make it illegible. I had this experience at my own company. So I wound up hiring an engineer from the office next door, which was an engineering company. We downloaded the SDK from Motorola, connected it to the Nextel phone, put the earpiece into a sound card. And when the call came in, we answered the call and we recorded the audio and put it into a database. And that became the beginning of a digital, you know, daily report. And, you know, Nextel wound up hearing about it and coming in, and the founders of Nextel invested in the company and wound up taking it public, and it's trading on NASDAQ today. I left there in 2008 because they really weren't interested in construction in particular. And, you know, construction's, you know, my peeps per se. I, you know, love to work with my hands. I love to build. I think it's the greatest thing ever. And I also am very sensitive to people that are really putting their heart into their work and then getting it stuck to them by someone else that doesn't want to pay. And that is something that really rubs me the wrong way. So I sold that business, and I've dedicated my, you know, really life for the last 24 years into allowing contractors to easily track the progress and problems on their job so they can get paid for the work they do. And I've also found that they often can get paid and keep the relationship, because when you have good records of what happens, people don't have to depend on trust. And when you're saying things, oh, and you know, after a few, they're going to be like, I'm not sure I trust you. I can't rely on what you're saying. But when you lay it out on paper, you, it's like having a fence between neighbors. You could make good neighbors that way. Well, you can have a good relationship when you have the facts.
Yep. Great fences make great neighbors. It's, and you know, I'll challenge or change that a little bit. It's like, it's trusting what you're saying is really hard, especially because, you know, given what you just said, like there's so much arbitration. There's so much, I mean, just let's say you're not even trying to lie, just people hearing things, they hear it through their own lens, right? And so it's a matter of perception. So this documentation creates the trust, because you're not trusting what I'm saying, and it's not, you're seeing it for yourself. It's laid out in a way that's structured so everybody can go, oh, okay, this is where we're at. Like, and it turns into a decision. All good software and solutions start with a really good problem. And I mean, at the core of our industry is the problem of litigation and disputes and getting that correct. So,
well, you can, you know, litigation certainly is something you want to avoid because it gets ugly. The gloves come off. People make things up. They call them red herrings to distract and burn the court time to their advantage if they don't have a good case. And that makes it really difficult. So you've got the judge that has the attention span of a gnat, and you've got to be very specific and compelling from the get-go. And the way we accomplish that with our customers is we encourage them, our best practice, to document events as they occur. Don't wait till the end of the day and write down what happened to me. Because even at the end of the day, it can be hard to remember exactly what happened in what order. So when you document events as they occur, and our first job actually was with Turner Construction on the San Diego Convention Center, a $250 million remodel project. They went and ran into a $15 million dispute with the drywall contractor on the project. But they had blow by blow. 8:35, I went to room 204, the drywall wasn't ready. 9:32, I went to room 604, drywall wasn't ready. They had 3 to 5 typewritten pages every day, blow by blow. And when the subcontractor saw that, they settled. They didn't even litigate the problem because they were going to lose. You can talk your way around a couple things, but after that, you better have proof and put it up. So that's the best way to have irrefutable.
And so you took the documenting, and that was with that was previous to the Nextel. That was the next venture, right? Which kind of is where we came along, right? And connected. This is where I heard that was Note Vault, right?
That was Note Vault, right? In 2007, right about 2008, I left Pacific Data Vision, the company we started that I mentioned is now trading as Anterix on NASDAQ. And I started Note Vault because I wanted to focus on contractors that get burnt, that are doing, you know, putting their heart into it, not getting paid and having to take heat when they shouldn't have to.
And this was you really opened my eyes. So this is where we connect. And I've told this story to you before. So, but to the listeners, this goes far back enough that I had already been on the show as a guest, but I was not a full-time crew member yet. In fact, it was still called the Contech Trio at that time. And I was driving to our Denver office from our Vail office of the company I worked for. And I heard Peter talking. And I heard him say something in succession that you may have heard him say today that blew my mind and has really sat as this little guiding principle. Two things. You heard him say, document it in line, because it's really hard at the end of the day to remember things. And what you said then too was, and you're also have so many other things you need to do, you're going to rush through it. So it's going to be less than it should be. And also that the written word, we continually try to say things and say less and less and less and give less valuable information because we have to write it out for a number of reasons, not the least of which is Not everybody's eloquent. Not everybody's a writer. Not everybody is a great speller, etc. So speaking your truth, your daily log in succession while you're doing it was the best way to get the richest information possible out of the field. And you also in there said, listen, and this was something I was experiencing because I work for a Mason and most of our laborers spoke Spanish. And that there was a, you know, sometimes they're trying to type in English and it's not working. So again, because language barriers, so they could speak into Note Vault. So you could speak into Note Vault. And at this point in time, what we have today was not there. So there was people with construction knowledge on the other end, translating that into daily logs to create that richness back, right?
Yes, that's correct.
And that blew, I mean, I was driving into the tunnel of, you know, I-70 from my house down to Denver. There's this thing called the Eisenhower Tunnel. And I can literally tell you the moment Peter said it, as I was going into the tunnel thinking, screaming at the phone that he was right. So super cool to have you back on the show. So because you gave me some guiding lights, man.
Yeah. So I love to hear that story.
And then, so now we're going to fast forward it. So Note Vault goes through its process, gets acquired by Bentley. You go along that process with them, had a lot of huge impact, et cetera. Now you did your time and you're back and you've got a whole new, and I love this. Like it's going back to your core, document today to dominate tomorrow. And I love your hat, CYA. At your core, you're still out there helping contractors CYA and dominate what they're doing by presenting really good documentation. So tell me what you're up to with Command Post.
Well, we're in our app, we just released it, incorporates the improvements that people asked for over 16 years. At Note Vault, we couldn't really get this stuff done. And this gave me a fresh opportunity. And what happened is, Bentley decided to turn off the service. And customers reached out to me immediately the same day they got the email from Bentley and said, hey, you know, start another Note Vault. And I had some concepts that I wanted to do. And this looked to me like it was something I needed to do to help the customers that now are going to be without something, left out in the cold. And I really wanted to be able to see the, you know, these ideas put into an app. So we created a new app. We deployed it, just recently, and we have customers coming. The old Note Vault customers are coming back very quickly, and loving it. And I'm really proud of it. It's everything rolled up into one solution. That's I'm going to say very refined. Language is an important aspect, and allowing people to speak and document things in their first language is very important to be able to provide the nuance to the information they record. And we now support through automation input in any language. And shortly it'll be translated also into any language you want to read it in. So for instance, if you want your reports, your daily report in English, it'll be in English. If you want it in Spanish, the whole thing will be transcribed into Spanish. So irrespective of what language people speak, you can read these reports in the language you want to read them in. And of course, all of the original audio is retained. The original transcription and the translations are all retained. So if push comes to shove and you want to be clear about what someone said, you can go back and hear the original recording of it.
That's powerful, man. Because we don't give this enough attention because I think it crosses lines people aren't comfortable with. But like, native language, we do a really bad job of communicating with two English speaking as a first language people and getting us to understand what page we're on. Add in the barrier of a second language, either way, it's an issue. So what a better way now for technology to bridge the gap. We're never going to get, well, it's never going to fix the problem that we're poor communicators, but it might make us less poor communicators and might give us an opportunity to be clear across language barriers. And that plays in because, you know, that plays here in the United States a lot. But one of the things I thought was interesting and that goes back to your Note Vault days is the biggest wins for Note Vault were when you were working in foreign countries and there was multiple different speakers in one project that it wasn't just English to Spanish and Spanish to English. It was a lot of different languages. So this had to be percolating.
Yeah. I think we solved the problem for the Tower of Babel, right? If someone wants to have everyone speaking different languages, now we can maybe get there, right?
Yeah, the Tower of Babel. So you did all that, and I love the language part and the communication portion. What else, over those 16 years, are you excited now to bring as the enhancements to the product? Because, when we sat down and talked, that was a big part for you, is where now can you pick this thing up and really take it further? So what are some of those guiding principles now?
Well, if you look at Note Vault, we were, we started with people calling on the phone line, right? What they call PSTN, the public switch telephone network. And then the smartphone came out and we built an app and we were one of the first apps out there. Well, that technology was essentially maintained until today almost. It is old and somewhat limited. So one part of it is to create a world-class user experience. Like if you look at Facebook or LinkedIn or Instagram, these companies have elevated the expectations of people for user experience, the smoothness of the app, the speed at which it loads and all of this, and optimizing the use of the telephone and the wireless network. And we've done that. So it's a very smooth app and the performance is excellent. Another thing is that we added work areas. That was something that people wanted, to be able to not only take a note and be able to tag a category or a topic, but they wanted to specify where it was in a GPS located work area. So we added that. And we included all the features within the app itself. Before, with Note Vault, we had the website was 100% on the web. And on the device, all you could do is record a note around a photo. Now you can do all of the admin in the device. So you couldn't add users, you couldn't add projects, you couldn't do really anything except add a note. And another thing that was important is that we had some limitations. You could record a note or you could type a note, but you couldn't do both. And now people are used to, in a text message, recording and typing and recording and typing. So we have that experience now, very similar to that. So you can record and type and record again in our app. And it also stores the audio. And the point that's very important about that, two points. One is that when a job is busy and, the last third or 25% of the job can be crazy, people don't have time to edit Siri, right? When they're making a note, you have notes, less time to do the documentation and more need for it because there's so many different players involved. And with this, they can fire and forget the note. They can dictate it and let it go, and they can listen to the audio later if they forgot what they said and correct it. And that makes them more likely to take that note. See, our customers win claims. I lost the claim that led me to create this whole product. But our customers, and I love talking to them, I get story after story about how they resolve claims without litigating, because they had a binder full of these reports with all the information that, and they give it to the other side and they go, oh man, they're in trouble. And they can usually settle out of court because of this. And another aspect to it is that when they added photos, before you would say add a photo and then it would bring up the camera, you take a picture and goes back to the note. And if you wanted to do another photo, you couldn't, right? You had to say add a photo and it bring up the photo again and do them individually. And the new app is rapid succession, like a Snapchat, where you can just go snap, 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 and you press and hold, and it shoots video. So in just seconds, you can capture photos and video. So it's really smooth and easy to use. Also, people can now caption the photos individually. So you've got the text of the note, and each photo can have a caption and annotation as well. And then in the reports, you can click on links to bring up the full res image. You don't have to log in and drill down six layers to find that image. So it's nuanced, right? Exactly the way people use it and want to. And the result is that people on average put 9 times the content in our app than they do in other systems for capturing daily report information. Take it at any of these other ways, because there's a text box and it's just not the same. And this is what makes them capture these extra photos and notes that help you win a claim.
So yeah, nine times more information, and more information can, that one thing can be the thing that really that really tells that story that you need. And so I know we're talking about the litigation portion, we're talking about the claims portion, we're talking about telling the story, but you're leaning into it guiding and sort of changing that experience for the team as well in getting ahead, right? Leading indicators versus those lagging indicators. And I think that's the cool thing, because like you took all the technology that was created between now and then, and you know, UI, UX and workflows and, you know, really making it all the things that amplify it. But now you're turning around and thinking about doing other things with it, which I thought was a real good, kind of follows the evolution of the industry, right? We've been trying to protect ourselves because we first had to protect ourselves in order to get better, right? You got to have better defense before you can really be. Defense wins championships, but you still got to score points. You still got to be offense. And actually that's where we want to focus, is how can we get ahead of things?
The first goal was to get daily reports at all, right? Because people sometimes didn't do them at all, or they would sit in their truck on Friday at 3:30 before they got their paycheck and fill out the whole week's reports, and there would be very little information in it. Now that we're getting daily report content, our focus is on the quality of the content, applying machine learning and AI to analyze what they're saying. And it's not rocket science. For example, if I say that Jeff came by and approved us to pour the concrete, even though there's a threat of rain, that's an important thing. But maybe we want to know Jeff's last name, right? So we can suggest to them to provide the last name. We're looking to remove adjectives, right? If you say, you know, somebody is stupid or these kinds of things are not helpful, they're opinions, and opinions can change and facts don't. So we have best practices to help people understand how they need a document and what they shouldn't say. That's very important. And customers have really not read these reports, and they've wound up biting them in the butt because they didn't look at what the guy is saying. So we're beginning to automate that process.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one too, because you're offering up best practices. And I remember you when you told me this about the adjective things. I was like, wait, I thought being more descriptive around an issue was a good thing. And you were like, wait, it is, but it also isn't. So explain that a little bit deeper so people understand when you say removing adjectives, you're talking about removing feelings.
Yes, that's right. That's right. The idea with adjectives is they're modifying the statement you're making. And if you say things on a factual basis, remember the old Dragnet show that said, just the facts, ma'am? The woman would go off talking and would say, "Get the book, just the facts. I just want the facts." That's how litigation, that everybody's like that. When you want to say, use adjectives, but it's not helpful. People just want to be factual. And I like to say that if you want to give your opinion, when you get on the stand in the courtroom, you can give your opinion then, right? But don't do it in a report. And I've had real life cases where the opinion of some of my people cost me money, because they would write a very good argument and then all of a sudden say, well, it's like gilding the lily. It's like gilding the lily. That means you didn't need to do it. You know, it's kind of like superfluous, and that undermined the whole message in the letter. So it can be undo some of the facts you're putting down if you summarize those facts into an opinion. That's really something we don't want to happen. Another thing we do want to happen is make sure that people are talking about the things that the company wants them to talk about. I've found that people give them a daily report. Nobody's ever sat down with these people and say, why do you need to do this? What are these for? What are you supposed to document? How are you supposed to document? All of that is not talked to these people. So we developed our 30-page self-guided quiz, general overview of terminology for litigation, contract terminology, what kind of case studies have happened because of poor documentation. You know, there's an old saying, what's the most famous radio station in America? It's WIFM. What's in it for me, right? Yeah. There is nothing in it for the superintendent or the foreman or so to document all this, because they already know it all, right? This is all documented for other people. So they're not really motivated to do it in the first place. But by making it easier than the alternatives, our app is easier to use than the alternatives, which are when trying to remember to do it later, that you forget, or you remember it when you're driving home and you can't do it right there or whatever. And writing it down on a piece of cardboard, a piece of drywall, and carrying it back to the office. You know, forget. So it's just easier to fire to get the messages right away, and that makes people do a better job with it all.
Nice, and that's awesome, because I can tie that to like cybersecurity. Nobody likes cybersecurity. That's why we take you through training and quizzes and get you to understand the nuance of why we're protecting data, what that data is. And I guess it's just something I didn't think about, but we train them on so many things to do their jobs right. But this is something we usually leave to their own devices. Like, yeah, just do a daily report. I mean, I think I've said that a million times without really sitting through and going, oh, well, this is what's critical in a daily report. This is why your opinion, while it's nice and all, doesn't matter, and why the facts are key, and what the facts should be. So that's awesome to drive through the product, learning and standardizing that process. And then the WIFM, you know, this is where you could take the app, have it, and that's where you can then communicate and you say, see, listen, this covers us. This prevents us from losing money. If we lose money, you're in trouble, right? I won't have a business if we can't cover ourselves. So this helps you do the easiest way to cover yourself and move us forward as a business.
Yeah. In my experience in having my own construction company, you know, you make money on your jobs and it's going good. And all of a sudden you have a bad job and it just eats up so much of that hard work. It's very disheartening and frustrating, and there's no reason for it. And sometimes people mess up and you step up and you take care of it, but to have to pay for things you shouldn't have to pay for, and to lose a customer when you shouldn't really have to lose it, and to spend time litigating, which takes all the senior management's time, right? You know, the superintendent doesn't have to work with all the discovery and find all the records and all this stuff to give that to the lawyers. This is something that requires senior management to do. So that takes them away from pursuing new work, managing their business.
Yeah, it's an interesting case too, because people don't realize, and I had this really early on in my career, at my last startup, I had somebody say, listen, Jeff, the important thing to us is we're 80% of our jobs are great. I'm not concerned with them. They're going great. It's the 20% that are in trouble. And one of those can tank our profits for the year. So I need to know that those are covered. And in the group we were in, we were trying to get leading indicators to get there and say, okay, don't focus on these, focus on these. These are the projects that need your attention.
We are also working on leading indicators, and I don't want to go into too much of this because I don't want to tip my hand on where we're going. But, you know, we're commandpost.ai for a reason. And we have things we've already developed and are developing in the second half of this year that will be exactly that, leading indicators. We'll be able to tell people based on what people are discussing and talking about and overlaying that to what the plan is and giving them some guidance on projects they might want to take a closer look at. So you have 80% of your projects are fine. Which 20% aren't? How do you know? Well, if you knew, then you could go visit those jobs and you sit down and you start asking some questions and peel back the onion. You're going to find out very quickly if these guys are on top of things or not. And then you can give them some help to avoid.
Well, and that was that's such a cool piece, because ours was in the early pre-con stages. And so this is all still digital and all still in the planning. And so they could bring in their experts and focus on, you know, hey, these types of projects have caused us problems. These types of changes have caused us problems. We can focus on it. It is completely different when you're in the field and you have to get out there and know, you know, and it's an opportunity to teach that, listen, we only have a limited number of resources that can fix things. And if they're just trying to figure out what to fix, that's not useful. If they know where to come and where to help, and a super or a foreman can say, yeah, I need your help. Like, I'm peeling back the onion. I didn't realize that was happening. Here's what I know. And you can bring in your people who know, because most of the leadership has been around construction for a really long time and they probably know how to solve the problem.
Well, they may know how to solve the problem, but they may not be able to find the data later. And that's an issue. And if you look at the work face where guys are, They're calling each other, they're texting information, and all of that's kind of gone, right? Especially if it's 9 years later, 5 years yeah. later. You're not going to find that message. You don't even know those people may not work for you. You don't know where they are. Their phone's gone. And so what we've designed in the app, in addition to you're capturing that note, that content of progress and problems, is we have a collaboration tool there. There's a comment capability. And so someone can see that note. They can sit and make a comment on it, start a conversation with their team on this. They can send a photo from the app and has a caption and send it in a text message to someone. So they can still do that, but it's also recorded in our app. And that we call it smart collaboration. That enables people to keep all of that content captured and on record. And another aspect about it is our app allows our customers to invite their subcontractors. And when the subcontractor comes in, they can only see their notes. They get their own daily report. They can't see anything anybody else does. And the general contractor can't edit that subcontractor's note, but they can comment on it, right? So if the sub says, okay, we painted the wall green, and you're like, no, it's supposed to be blue, right? You can get your comments on record too by sending that, and they'll get a notification right to their iPhone or their Apple Watch and Surfer, and they get notified of it. So that everybody gets to, you know, put their voice out there and be heard.
Yeah, I like the smart collaboration. It really helps them work together, but also gives them the opportunity to do it digitally, which is, you know, what we need, because crews need to keep moving and catch problems early, right? If I paint one room the wrong color and I post it and, hey, you know, room A painted picture, whoa, that's not the right color. That who knows how that color got there? It's probably nobody's, I mean, it's probably somebody's fault, but it's probably not like, oh, hey, we wanted to paint it green instead of blue. You know, like they don't do that. They paint. You pick the color, but you go, okay, well, we didn't do 20 more rooms. We'll stop the crew right now. We'll figure out what the right paint is. Maybe figure out where the problem came from, but hey, fixing two rooms, that's a lot bigger than two floors worth of rooms, or even worse. Having the client walk in and go, this isn't the color. Like, that's a big, people don't really quantify how big of an impact those things are on the owner. And sometimes it's a paint color. It's the flooring type. It's, you know, the way the entryway was designed, and it ruins all, it leaves a bad taste in their mouth for a long time. And that's can destroy relationships.
It can. And that's, you know, that's why the news feed is so beneficial that we have, because if you're a project manager or project executive and you've got numerous jobs, you can go to the news feed and on your phone, just like your social media, see all the latest information that's being posted on your projects. And then you can see it and say, you know, comment right then. And it's the knowledge is, it's out there and it's all on record. And
well,
it's super helpful too.
That's awesome, Peter. I'm going to leave you on a mic drop there, because now what you're saying is our project executives, our project managers can stop doom scrolling Instagram, and they can be productive scrolling through projects and looking for problems, but also probably in many respects on the other end, really loving to see the work that's getting done on all the projects that are in their portfolio that are going on, all the way up to the executive level, being able to enjoy some of that. We don't give people enough time to enjoy the hard work that's going on, and maybe catch, you know, a crew that's doing something really hard and really well and say, yo, this is awesome. This looks
is cool,
great.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to go into the permanent record. It's just, hey, this is really cool, guys. Thanks.
You know, you have a great point there, because, you know, on the job site, you get to experience the fun part. And then when you're in the office and the phone rings, it's not to say, hey, this, everything went great, right? They're calling you because there's a problem. So you begin to think there is problems out there. So a lot of our customers have put our news feed on a monitor in their office, so the whole staff can see these images and videos and so forth of the project as they're being posted. And, you know, it's all really, really, you know, heartwarming, right? It feels like they're actually contributing to something important.
I have always connected with project managers and superintendents, the people who fix things, because they're just like my world of IT. Nobody ever calls the IT help desk to say like, hey, just want to let you know my computer turned on, my Teams works great, my Outlook's open and I'm getting my email. Thanks a lot. And hangs up. Nobody does that. They just call to say, this is broken. That didn't work right. And so it is cool to see some of the technology coming back around to show some of that and socialize some of that to the office. And, you know, we're really focused on and connecting field and office. And that's a powerful way to do it. And through technology, that's actually helping the business as well, right? This is somewhat of a secondary use case that drives some fun on a product that's primarily driving really powerful documentation and, you know, CYA for your company. So Peter, CYA, let people know where they can go find out more.
Well, commandpost.ai is our website, slash notes. If you want to go right to our notes app, it's also on the Apple store, as CP Notes or Command Post Notes, as well as Google Play. And you can download it. It is a freemium app, so you can start using it free and upgrade to an enterprise application when you're ready. The enterprise does a lot of cool things, like federating users and providing oversight and so forth. But we want people to be able to start and use it right away and not have to try and get approval or put their own personal credit card in to get going, which some people have done in the past.
There you go, anyway, man. Yeah, you can get started today. I'm looking forward to when we bring you back around and talk about some of the new things you've done. It's always awesome to sit down with you, man. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you. I just want to put in one more plug, if I could, that on June 16th, we are being preloaded on the JCB phone. It's a rugged phone. JCB is the second largest construction equipment manufacturer in the world, in addition to Caterpillar. And the phone they're putting out June 16th have you preloaded with Command Post Note software.
There you go. You made it on to the hardware.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we will see you out there. Maybe we'll even get a couple of snaps of those JCB phones out there and see the app in process. And we'll see you out on the road.
Sounds great. Thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Peter Lisinski. To read all our news stories, learn more about our guests, and to listen to the show, visit thecontechcrew.com. This is the Contech Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.